Hey, it is Dave Schrein, and it is time for the next episode of the Church Marketing Podcast. Very excited to be with you for yet another edition of this wonderful podcasting goodness. And kicking off here the month of September. It's been a good month for me so far. I hope it's been a good month for you. And let's just say I am excited for two things. Number one, Yeah, you know what it is. It's time for football season, y'all. I'm a huge NFL fan. Now, a lot of you are probably going to give me grief for what I'm about to say, but I just can't get into college football. I don't know what it is. It might be the fact that I never actually attended college. It might be the fact that the players change so frequently, but I can't get into it. But NFL football, now that is something that I can get into. And I'm very excited for the upcoming season with our Arizona Cardinals. Now, the second thing that I'm excited for, I don't think I can do the music as well. I'll try. Hey, hey, bum, bum, ba, dum, bum. Hey, hey, dun, dun, da, dun, dun. Do you know what that is? That's the Modern Family jingle. I absolutely love that show. The value that it brings in taking real life scenarios and turning them into, you know, pretty somewhat realistic drama. I mean, as realistic as drama can get. I think they do a great job. It's funny. It's well written. It's well casted. I'm just fired up about the fall, y'all. I like football and I like Modern Family. What are you excited about for this fall? I'll tell you one thing that I'm very fired up about. It's a kick that I've been on, and it's something that I think we would all do well to apply in great amounts, not only in our personal lives, but in what we do for our organizations. And that is this: bringing value to everything that we do. I have a little community that I'm a part of, and recently I sent out an email to that community basically saying, look, the ultimate question that you need to ask yourself is not, how do I get the information out there? Is not, how do I get more people to attend my events or more clicks on my website? But the question that you need to be asking yourself is, what kind of value am I adding to this space? Now, we can get spiritual on this because Jesus added so much value everywhere that he went. If you notice that he had a specific purpose that he was going after, it was to do the work of the Father. It was to set up his church here on the earth. It was to get everything prepared for his departure. That's what he was focusing on. And everywhere he went, he was furthering that vision in a way that brought value to the people around him. So if you want to look at the Sermon on the Mount as a prime example of how Jesus brought his message with great value. Now, the people that he was speaking to, there were a lot of different people there. But one of the main demographics was going to be the common people, those who, they weren't the Pharisees, they weren't the holiest of the holies, they weren't in government positions. These people were the average people. And Jesus brought his message in a way that they could understand, in a way that allowed them to sense and feel that they had value in the kingdom of God. It shows up in the Beatitudes. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus was a master at bringing value to every single group of individuals that he was interacting with. He knew his audience. He understood the things that they were going to. And rather than just saying, hey, I'm building a kingdom here on earth, come check it out, he casts vision. He helps them understand that he's building something unlike the world has ever seen before. And as we go in and out of our daily work, how are we casting that vision? How are we bringing value to the conversations that we're taking part in? How are we adding value to our websites? How are we adding value to social media? How are we casting the larger vision of the church in a way that doesn't bring noise to the conversation, but actually brings clarity and articulates the truth of what we're going after? I would challenge you to reevaluate your efforts. If you're not bringing value to what you're putting your hands and your work towards, reevaluate and say, how can we turn this around so that it actually speaks to the people who we are trying to recruit, to the people who we are trying to bring into the fold? As you do that, you will find that not only do the micro measurements grow, the measurements that we look at here from an earthly perspective, but you will find the kingdom measurements grow as well. And you know what those are. Those are stories of life change. Those are stories of transformation. Those are stories of decisions that people make that they would have never made had Christ not been intervening in their life. And we can play a part. How can you transform what you're doing to bring value to the lives of the people you are trying to reach on behalf of your church? Think about it. Okay, I want to talk for a few minutes about winning at Instagram. This is one of the fastest growing social networks, and I think for a lot of churches and a lot of organizations, it's still a mystery how we can use Instagram to help us further whatever mission it is we're going after. What I see often from many organizations that haven't thought through what their Instagram strategy is just a shotgun approach to putting content out there. Now, we look at Instagram and instantly we know that it's not a major traffic builder, right? The reason why we would say this is because you cannot put clickable links in Instagram photo comment areas. You just can't. The only clickable link that exists in an Instagram environment is in your profile. So whatever link you put for your profile, you're allowed to have one. That's the only clickable link that you will find anywhere in Instagram. Instagram is primarily organized by hashtags and people assignments. That's pretty much it. There's no navigation other than, you know, searching for keywords, hashtags, and people. So how can this tool be effective for churches? How can we actually get to a point where not only does it provide value to the people that we are connecting with, but it also provides value to our bottom line in that we are able to, you know, quantify whether or not the investment of time and expertise is worth the payoff? And here's what I'd like to submit to you. The main issue that anyone has with Instagram is they don't know what their voice is on Instagram. Go ahead and open up the camera roll on your phone. Take a look at the images. My guess is that there is not one central theme. Maybe if you have kids, you've got, you know, 15 or 20 pictures in a row of your kids. But then right after that, you've got pictures of receipts. You've got pictures of furniture. You have pictures of things you took, you know, or shots of pictures that you took at the store to send to your spouse or to send to a friend to say, hey, is this the right one? There's no common theme, no common thread to your camera roll. Well, essentially, Instagram is your camera roll for everybody to see. If there's no theme, if there's no track record, if they don't know, if a user doesn't know what to expect when they click follow, you're not going to get that person to follow you. You may get a few people who follow just because of brand recognition, but by and large, you will not find Instagram to be very useful in gaining moment or in picking up momentum or gaining traction with anything unless you have a common theme. So, what's the solution to this? It's very simple. Decide what your Instagram voice is going to be. Now, if you are a small church, you may think, well, you know, there's only so many faces that we can put up there. Everybody knows all the faces. Well, what is your church all about? There's the church locally here in Gilbert, Arizona, and they put a huge priority on adoption and pro-life initiatives. That's what they're all about. So, to further their vision of being adoption and pro-life oriented, adoption and pro-life minded, there are all sorts of things that they can do using Instagram. So just a few for instance. Example number one, they can highlight different people, different families who have adopted within their organization. There's no better way to show the power of adoption than by taking real photos of real families who have adopted real children who really needed a mom and dad. That's powerful stuff right there. Now you might say, well, are they concerned about having their picture or having the faces of the adopted children on camera? And I guess in some instances it should be a concern, especially if there's a scenario where the child was taken out of a very dangerous situation. Just use common sense. But for the most part, people are okay sharing their stories if it's for a specific purpose and if it's done in the right way. So that's just one for instance. Another for instance would be to share facts about adoption, to make infographs. There's a great tool called Canva you can use to share statistics. Do facts about adoption. Do facts about pro-life. Whatever the issue might be that you're going after, you can use Instagram to put faces to the issue, to put facts to the issue. Now, here's another way that you can use Instagram that people may not have been considering. I'm going to share the example from my own personal experience. I was not really clear on what my Instagram, my personal Instagram profile should look like. So I kind of stopped doing pictures for about a week and a half. I might have had one in there. And I really reevaluated what I wanted my Instagram feed to be all about. And what I decided is I was going to use Instagram as a very micro blog. We're talking maybe 4 sentences at the most. I'm going to post a picture, and then I'm going to use the comment section to explain why that picture applies to the concept of leadership. So one of the early pictures that I had was a picture of me with my son very late at night. And I said, my son has decided that he doesn't want to go to sleep at 7 o'clock anymore. And we've had several nights in a row where he's tried to stay up till 7:45, 8 o'clock, 8:30. I knew something had to change. So I led him through a new wind down process, and rather than just doing the same thing that leads him to being upset in his bed, I wound down and then I put him to sleep. And that's a little bit wordier than I make it in the Instagram post, but you get the idea. The idea here is to use that space as a way to capture people's attention about whatever it is that you might be putting out there. So going back to the adoption example, if you're going to tweet out or if you're going to post a picture of a family that is going through adoption or has gone through adoption, you can use the comment section to write a very micro post. And if you really need them to click on something, you can change the link out in the profile and say something like, to learn more about this opportunity, click the link in our profile page. So that's just a little tip on Instagram. I hope it helps. I'm going to put some links in the show notes that will actually give you more examples and more resources where you can learn how to get more effective in your Instagram marketing. All right, let's switch gears now. This month's conversation is with AJ Finlayson. Now, AJ is just an amazing resource for the church world. And if you haven't been following him on Twitter, you've got to do so. His Twitter handle will be in the show notes. I think it's at AJ Finlayson. You got to be following him. The dude is producing some crazy, awesome resources for churches to use. He works for Monk Development out in San Diego. I recently visited them back in the summertime and couldn't be a greater guy. So we have a great conversation. AJ talks to us about the importance of using analytics to track what we're doing as a church, to actually help us see if what we're doing is leading to life transformation. And we actually have a second part to the interview that's visually based, so we're going to put that online as well. It's where he actually walks through the Google Analytics interface and shows us how we can use that to streamline the reporting process and see see what value lies within what we're doing on our website. Okay, so we'll get to the conversation. I will catch you on the flip side. Here is Analytics with AJ Finlayson. I've got AJ Finlayson on the line. He is the communications director at Monk Development, a company that that I have worked with for probably close to the last 6 years. Love what they do. Love everything that they put out. And AJ and I recently connected over the last several months. And this is actually the second time AJ and I have had a chance to talk on the phone. AJ's really great at understanding the need for analytics, understanding the need for knowing what's going on with your website, and I am not. And so we connected. He gave me some really great insight, and so I've asked him to come on today to just talk a little bit about the need to have analytics on your website, what you should be looking for as a church, and then some ways that you can serve up the information to save yourself time and make decisions. So, AJ, thanks so much for taking the time here to talk with me. I really do appreciate it, man.
Yeah, not a problem, Dave. I'm glad to be here. Like Dave said, I am the communication director at Monk Development. We help churches with web-based solutions. So we have a content management system, Ecclesia 360. What I do on a daily basis, I blog and different things like that, but I create resources for churches. And one of the areas that we've seen a lot of churches kind of, I guess the best way to describe it is not have a clear focus,
yeah,
is in understanding what's happening on their website.
Yeah.
So for most people, it's almost like they took a, I guess, a brochure or a flyer and put that online.
Hmm.
So it's not, they're not using the website as a ministry tool.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, they're more excited about, you know, oh, my website looks good.
Yeah.
And what we really want to do with a church website is we want to get results. We want to see people going to small group pages and joining small groups.
Yeah.
We want to see people downloading sermons. And if you're not tracking and looking at what's happening on your website, you can't make improvements. You could come to a point where you're not getting any newsletter signups and nobody's joining that page because there's actually no call to action on your website to get people to sign up for your newsletter.
Yeah. Well, you know, what you're talking about there is what, you know, you say, oh, look at my website. It looks really cool. What I've kind of found, is that a lot of times churches and ministry leaders and, you know, I'm not saying this as a ragging on them as persons, but in just terms of, you know, philosophy of website, it's almost like having a page on the website. It doesn't provide legitimate value for anybody, but it almost legitimizes whatever that person's going after. It's like, oh, if I've got a page on the website, now what I'm doing is actually legitimate, as opposed to asking that question of like you're talking about, like, what do we want our website to do? How do we want it to serve us? What type of conversions are we looking for? You know, one thing that I said when we signed up with Monk pretty much right away when I got to Mountain Park, just because I love what you guys did. And one of our big goals was minimizing the amount of telephone calls that we have, because we would be on the phone. I don't even know how much people calling us asking just simple questions that could be delivered online. And so that was really one of the things of, this is one reason why we need to have a website. And, you know, getting Google Analytics installed was something that was a part of that. But so the need for the website, I hear you saying is to, or the need for analytics, what I hear you saying is that need exists to know, what are we doing on our website? What's working well, and what can we do better? I mean, is that pretty much what you would say? Would you add anything else to that?
Yeah, the only thing, and I mean, that's perfect. The only thing I would add to that would be, it allows you to make better decisions as a church communicator.
Okay, talk to me about that. How does analytics actually help me make conscious decisions?
Okay, so let's just do a simple example. Let's say you have an event, and it's coming up, and your church is putting a lot of money into it. And the ministry leaders don't know whether people are actually interested in this page. So you're wondering, okay, are people coming to the website? Are they coming to this event page? Are they seeing it? I've got an image banner on my homepage. Are people clicking on that and actually going to the event? And with analytics, you can start to build a picture. Are they clicking on that and they going? Are they going to that page? Yes, they are. You can also get into some unique things where on social media, if you share a link to that page, you can see how many people are coming from, let's say, Twitter, a Twitter post that you put, and seeing how many people come to that event. Mm. And you start to build this picture of, is this event going to be successful? Are people coming to this page from social media and all that we're investing in that? And you can make better decisions. I used to be a church communication director. One of the things we had done for a long time was at Easter, we did a, you know, an altar call. And so people would come up, you know, everything that you would imagine with an altar call.
Yeah.
And it became apparent that we weren't really being effective there.
Hmm.
And what I mean by that is nobody was really looking for baptisms on our church website. We were actually kind of wasting our time in some ways with that, because our church was actually more in the discipleship than converting new believers. And that was our strong point. And so all these altar calls on Easter didn't really work. But what actually did work, and we saw kind of after Easter where people were going on the website, was our small groups, discipleship opportunities. So next Easter, we kind of went at it different. We went at it, how can we get people connected into discipleship? So instead of trying to do the altar call, I'm not saying there's not value in that, but I'm saying
of course.
For our church and to be successful, most of our people were already Christians that were coming, and we were looking to get them deeper into our discipleship opportunities. And so altar call, we switched that and went with discipleship. We did messages about joining small groups at Easter. And so that's just kind of what you can see from the website. And I'm saying we had nobody going to baptism, but we saw people going to discipleship. And so the messaging that we did around Easter, we did the same thing at Christmas, was come back to a discipleship event, come back to small groups, that type of thing.
Hmm. Very good. So, I mean, it really, on one hand, it provides a little bit of anecdotal evidence in that if you can see one page kind of exploding versus another page that's not really exploding, or a lot of social media traffic coming to one particular page versus, you know, a lot of people typing in the address for another page, you can kind of say, well, this one's very popular on social media. Therefore, you can put together, we have a lot of people. We have, you know, 900 people on our social media account, and we've got, you know, 100 links into this website. There's some legitimacy there. So yeah, it provides a little bit of anecdotal evidence, but then numbers don't lie, right? I mean, unless you're going to the Apple store and all the different Apple stores in your city, and going and logging into your website and browsing everywhere just to boost your page site stats, it pretty much is what it is. You can't really mess with those stats. Is that correct? Like what they are is a true representation.
Oh yes, and one of the things that we've actually found is the fourth most visited page on most church websites is your staff page.
Ah.
And so when you start looking at what type of information that you're including on your staff pages, why are people going there? We make a joke that sometimes it's the church staff going to look at themselves. So you get that. But
Guilty.
Yep. I like my picture. no, but really what we're talking about is that's a page that gets traffic.
Yeah.
And how do we use that page to kind of assimilate more people into deeper engagement? So
that's great.
For instance, one of the things we like to do on staff pages is include a bio.
Mm-hmm.
And that bio allows people to be more, I guess, get a sense of who you are as a church.
Mm-hmm.
So we share kind of our likes and different things. And this is when I was still a church communication director.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, people weren't coming to that page. I mean, they weren't coming to the page for that. What they were actually coming for, and we found this out, was to get phone numbers, to get emails.
Hmm.
And so, you know, what we ended up doing was kind of moving the bios to a details page.
Mm-hmm.
So moving it like one page deeper. Mm-hmm. So there's one click deeper, but making the contact information. So phone number, their staff position, if they're on social media, how you can connect with them. So their Twitter handles, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's just knowing what people are going to your website for, and that's what analytics allows you to do.
Okay, so I wanna go off on a tangent just for a second, and I want to say that it surprises me how many websites I go to, particularly churches, and throw nonprofits in there as well, but how many websites I go to where the staff page is just completely sterile. The pictures are there. It almost looks like people have turned in selfies, or just a picture taken, you know, that's out of date or isn't a very good composure. And there's no bio information. And the reason why I want to kind of harp on that for a second is, you know, you're saying here that the staff page is the fourth most visited page. And I get that it's about the, that a lot of that has to do with emails and contact information. Totally get that. But on top of that, I think the staff at many churches, if not all churches, the staff is a real core strength of that church, and being able to, you know, to not necessarily highlight in a prideful way, but almost put out there, these are the faces of our church. These are the people who are here to serve you. And you know, if you're listening and you have never put much effort into your staff page, I just want to challenge you right now to if you've got a photographer in your church, to go out and ask a photographer to take pictures of every single person on your staff page. Don't use different photographers. Use one photographer. That way all the images are consistent. And the other thing that I want to challenge you to do is to come up with a template for staff bios. A lot of times you'll find that a certain staff person will have two sentences while another person will have, you know, four paragraphs, and it's just not consistent. It's really good to have one template and say, answer these three questions and give me these three pieces of information, and then craft that together as a staff bio. So that's just a little bit of a soapbox I have, because I think that's low hanging fruit. Back to the piece of the analytics, can you just walk me through some of the very basic terms in analytics? We're going to focus on Google Analytics here. There's other programs that you can use. There's some that are designed specifically for churches. There's other generic programs. For our purposes today, we're going to talk about Google Analytics, and a lot of the concepts will carry over. But can you just walk through some of the key terms that we need to be familiar with in understanding Google Analytics?
Oh, yeah, of course. And one of the things I'm going to preface this with is analytics, and Google Analytics in particular, have a odd habit of changing the names of what you're looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
So they recently changed something from page visits to sessions.
Yeah.
So just understanding that what I might be telling you now might not be the case. One of the good things that Google Analytics does is they usually have a little circle with a question mark. So if you're ever wondering, what is this stat? What am I looking at? They usually have that little question mark. Usually it's like a little gray circle with a question mark. You can always click on that and find out information. For churches, and I've created an ebook about this in the past and kind of walked you through how to find it. But one of the things that you want to find out, or how many of the visits to your church website are from new people. So this recently changed. Right now it's called, I think, percent of new sessions. And so what that is that saying these are first time people coming to your site. So that one is particularly of interest, because you want to see if your church website is growing, if new people are finding you online. And so that one, like I said, of interest. Another one to look at is bounce rates.
Yeah, what's a bounce rate? Tell me about that.
Okay, so a bounce rate is someone comes to a page and then they leave without engaging on the page.
What do you mean by engagement?
So there's different things. They scroll, they click.
Okay.
They move to different pages on the website. So when you have a really high bounce rate, what that means is someone comes to that page and then leaves. They're not doing anything on that page.
Okay.
Now, there are certain types of content that get higher bounce rates. For instance, if you have a blog post, that's probably going to get a higher bounce rate unless you have internal linking. And by that, I mean you have hyperlinks inside or more information. So you have a call to action at the bottom. And the reason for that is, you're probably posting it on social media. They're clicking on that link. They're coming and looking at that page, that article, and then they're leaving.
Okay.
So one of the good things to pair bounce rates with is also time on site, or I think they now called it
average session duration.
Yeah. Like I said, they change them all the time. But that average session duration, what that tells you is how long on average someone visited that page or was on that page.
So that can be helpful for all sorts of different things. I mean, if you have a video on your page that's 3 minutes long and you see that the average session duration is like, you know, 2 minutes, you can I mean, obviously with certain other analytical tools you can get definites, but you could probably guess that a good percentage of people are actually watching the video almost through its duration, something like that. Would that be a good inference to make?
Yeah. I mean, you could make that inference. Yeah. And one of the things you could also do is set up event tracking. I'm getting a high level, and you could track someone, you know, hits play, how long that event happens.
Okay.
And then what I'm saying that is that's really complicated. It gets into setting up custom triggers with jQuery. I'm just saying that's,
you know, I totally get that. It's Friday when we're recording this. My brain isn't functioning like that. No need to go into that. But so we're average session duration.
Yeah, and one of the things to look at. So if someone comes to a page and you've got a bunch of text on that page, in, you know, paragraph after paragraph, and you see that they're on there for 15 seconds,
yeah,
you got to switch something up.
Yeah,
they're not staying on that page to read the content you have on there, obviously, because it's only 15 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I've done with some ministries, and it's kind of a challenge, and it can get into a little bit of confrontation, is I've got a kitchen timer, and I'll turn that kitchen timer to, say, 15 seconds,
mm-hmm,
and let them sit on their page and read it,
mm-hmm,
and then you hear that ding when it goes up, and it's like, where did you get to on that page? That's where most of your people are getting to.
Yeah.
So we've got to work on this copy on this page to fix it so that,
yep,
it's easy to read, it's, you know, scannable. So, mm-hmm, all those things that are good copy when you're writing copy.
That's great. So what else do we need to look for?
So we got bounce rate. We did average session duration. New thing. One of the other things to do on a page is to look at navigation. So it's in there. Let me check real quick and find out what they're actually calling it these days. So they're calling it navigation summary. And if you click on that, what that does is it gives you kind of information. What pages were they looking at prior to coming to this page? And what pages did they go to after this page? So, I mean, this gets really interesting if you have a call to action. So let's say you have a page where you have people come, and then the whole goal of that page is to get them to do an action on another page.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to see, like, okay, so they came to my small group page. I want them to go to this page where they fill out their information to join a small group.
Mm-hmm.
So how many people are actually going to my small group page and then moving on, you know, what's the next page?
Mm.
And so you can start looking and seeing, like, okay, if people are going to my – they're coming from the About Us page. They're coming from our history page. They're coming from a staff member's page, and then they're going to our overall staff page, and then where are they going next? They're going to About Us and Worship, About Us. So you can start creating kind of pathways, so where people go. One of the interesting things with this is you get to decide. You don't get to decide. You can start creating pathways, so getting people from content to a next critical step.
So I'll tell you one thing that I've been doing. I've been I've talked about it a little bit on the podcast, but I've been putting a lot of effort into our e-newsletters because I've found that that's just a really great way to communicate with our people. And the more work that I put into that, the higher open rate we get and the higher click-through rate that we get. I mean, it's just a simple equation, right?
Mm-hmm.
More work giving more value equals, you know, more consumption of that content. So what I've been doing is some of our very popular pieces that we've been linking to from social media, that we've been highlighting in print pieces, I've been putting a call to action 2 to 3 places on the page. The stories that I'm writing are on average between 300 and 400 words, and our hope is that they're compelling enough that people will read through them. But even if they don't get through the entire page, After the first or second paragraph, I have a link that says, would you like to receive more stories like this via email? And then I've got a link there to our newsletter page where they can sign up. And then I have two more links. If the page is long enough to justify it, I'll have two more links. And so this sounds like, you know, this navigation might actually help me discern whether or not that strategy is working.
Yeah, and it definitely would. Another thing you can do is you can create a dashboard, and what that allows you to do is look at certain things in a specific way. But more than likely, and if your website's like every other website, there's a certain URL that people get dropped into after they fill out a form.
Ah.
So it's a thank you page, or there's some special characters. And what you can do is start seeing how many people are actually hitting that unique URL. And what that allows you to do is say, how effective is everything? How many people am I getting? So this quarter, how many people did we have fill out this form? We did that with our membership sign up form. And one of the things we wanted to see was how many people are actually filling out our membership sign up online form in a given quarter. Are we driving traffic to that, enough traffic to that, so that we can get more people to kind of think about membership? Mm-hmm. And is the copy on the page enough to get them to make that decision? And you can start doing comparisons. And one of the things we found, and I don't think this will be any surprise to anybody, is after Easter, after Christmas, those were big conversion moments. Mm-hmm. People deciding that they want to join the church. And so we saw an uptick. And so we were wondering, what could we do to make their, you know, possibly be an uptick? What could we do during the year to help people get to those pages? And so we created some stories. There was some stuff in worship the pastor presented in his sermon that actually asked people, hey, take this next step, go to this page. We put it on our home rotator, and, you know, we saw an increase. If we weren't tracking that, we could come to a period where we had nobody joining the church, no new members. And without being able to track, we don't know, you know, where we are in that process. Are we getting anybody to become members? Are we getting anybody in small groups?
Well, and how effective is it even for the pastor to say on a Sunday morning, go to our homepage, you'll see the rotator, click here? Like, if you see an explosion, then obviously that's a successful strategy. I think we all would assume that would be a successful strategy, right? Because that's the holy grail of all communication. We keep saying it over and over, but an announcement from the stage. And we all assume that that's what would be, you know, the most effective. But by tracking it, you can actually say, hey, Sunday afternoon, after pastor said, you know, message 1, 2, 3, we saw a huge uptick in hits. That was a successful conversion strategy. Whereas, you know, if you saw nothing that entire week, it's like, well, was that really a good use of time on Sunday morning? Or are we doing a poor job of actually facilitating the conversion, that actual follow through? And analytics will tell you that too. So let me ask you this. What are some things that churches, I want to go into dashboards, but because this is an audio podcast, I'm going to save that for the very end. And we may even make that available as a separate video download so people can follow along. So what I want to do now before we get to that point is, what are some of the things that a church should consider taking into account on maybe a weekly basis, maybe a monthly basis, and maybe even a yearly basis? I mean, you can drill down as far as you want, but what are some of the things that, I mean, just some real surface level stuff. If I get started in Google Analytics tomorrow, what are the things that I should be looking for now, a month from now, maybe a year out?
Okay, so one of the things you should be looking for, let's say every week, is just how many people are coming to your site. So that one's like the easiest thing to track. So how many people are coming to your site, and then also that percent of new sessions. So how many of those people that are coming to your site are new visitors? You should be tracking that kind of on a weekly basis. And what that allows you to do is just say, okay, where are we at? It looks like we've got new people. I was actually on the phone earlier today with a church that has live streaming. So they have a specific feature on their website. And one of the things that, you know, they needed to do on a weekly basis is see how many people are logging into that live stream.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, I mean, that's, you know, weekly basis. Monthly, you start getting into, you should really start looking at bounce rates, average time on sites. One of the other things we didn't get into when I was talking about important things was exit rate. So there are churches that have pages that perform horribly. Their people come and it has like a 90% exit rate.
So what's the difference between an exit rate and a bounce rate?
So a bounce rate is they might have came from one page and came to that page, or they might have been on the site and they've gone to a couple pages. And an exit rate is they went to a single page and then they left your site.
Okay.
So we start to see this, it's the page that people exited your site from. So if there's let's say you have a group on your church website, people click on that, and then people keep leaving your site after visiting that page, that information. That's a sure sign that, hey, this page isn't performing well.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming to the site, and then they're leaving our website because of something that's happening on this page.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to pour in and just see kind of what's happening on the page. And you can create a list. You go to site content. Exit pages is one of the ones. You click on that, and you can see kind of what's happening on your page, what your top exit pages are.
Mm-hmm.
Your homepage is probably going to be on that list. Don't get afraid if that is the case. I'm just going to say that outright. Some people are searching for stuff online, and they'll come across your church website, and it wasn't a good fit, and they'll exit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's that you got to consider. When you start getting into quarterly reviews, you as a church probably have goals. You've got certain pages that you want people to hit. So, for instance, your small group page, your membership page. These are pages you want to have people consecutively, you know, throughout the month going to. And so on a quarterly basis, you track that, and then you can compare it between months. So are we increasing the number of people that are getting to our small group page? Yes, no. And then when you have that number and you're tracking it quarterly, you can say last quarter we had 20 people, this quarter we had 50. What did we do to drive people to those pages? That's a good thing. You've got the bounce rates, average time on site. You want to start trying to increase the average time on site or average session, I believe. Like I said, average session. They change it all the time.
Yeah.
Because what that means is people are going to more pages on your website. So they're visiting one page, they're visiting another page. And so that means they're probably getting discipled in some regard. So if they're visiting your resources and, they're spending,
it could be the equivalent of them coming on one Sunday. They found it valuable, so they're coming another Sunday, and they keep coming each Sunday. Kind of the same concept. They go to one page, they find something valuable, so they go ahead and they keep navigating to continue to discover more about your church. Is that a fair assessment, fair illustration?
Yeah, and that is like kind of one of the things you can do, as well as custom segmentation. We don't need to get into that, but it's a fair estimate. They're spending more time on your site. They're learning more about who you are. They're reading your resources. They're visiting your sermon page. So you can start seeing that you want to increase that, because that means more discipleship is happening online.
That's good. That's good. Great. Well, what I want to do now is I want to go ahead and end the audio portion of this conversation. And so I'm going to send it back to myself. Haha. How about that for kind of like a Back to the Future? I don't know what word I'm looking for. I'm going to send it back to myself. But if you want to check out the next section, where AJ and I get into a little bit more complicated process of creating custom dashboards, basically making it easy for you to find the information that you want to look at and have that delivered to you regularly, then you can check out the show notes, and there will be a link to that video. So AJ, thank you so much. Appreciate your time on this, and look forward to continuing to connect.
Yeah, no problem, Dave. Thank you very much.
Oh. Okay, that was super intense. I remember it was good stuff with when AJ and I were actually recording it, but going back and listening to it again, that is some heavy stuff. Now, I think there's a risk that we're running here. I think there's a risk that we are going to allow that information to go in one ear and out the other. I know that a lot of that is over the head, right? Like there's a lot of terminology in there. There's a lot of things that just don't necessarily make sense at first glance. So one, you need to check out the video portion, which is going to be available in the show notes. Okay. ChurchMarketingSucks.com/005. ChurchMarketingSucks.com/005. The video is a screen capture of the conversation that AJ and I had, and it's really good stuff. It will help you visualize a lot of the stuff that we just got done talking about. Now, here's the other thing that I want to let you know. AJ has put together some incredible guides for the team over at Monk, and so also in the show notes, there's going to be some digital ebooks and blog posts that will help you get a better feel for how to use analytics. Now, here's the important part. Our job as church communicators and church media leaders is fairly new. We need as much evidence as possible that what we do is valuable, that what we do matters, not for our sake, but because it really does matter. There are people out there looking for God on the internet, and we want to make sure that our churches are going to be found and that people are going to be able to find the information they need once they get on our websites. It's huge. Do not underestimate the value of having a website that actually works for your organization. It's not a church issue. It's not a pride issue. It is a kingdom-centered issue. So, I would encourage you, go check out the show notes, churchmarketingsucks.com/005. Watch the video, download the resources, and get educated, at least at a foundational level, of how analytics work. And if you need to reach out to AJ, like I said, the guy is on Twitter. He's an incredibly generous man with his time, and he will do everything that he can to help get you set up. So that's it for this week. And the reason is because I have a little bit of an announcement to make. We are going to be moving from once a month to a twice a month schedule. So it is true. That's it for this week's Church Marketing Podcast. In 2 weeks, we will be back with the next episode. I've already got the conversation recorded. The conversation is just fantastic. You guys are really going to love it. It went a little bit long because it was so good, but you will love it. You will get a lot of benefit from it, and I cannot wait to share it with you. The other thing that I want to let you know about is the Center for Church Communications, which is kind of the overall organization that we run the podcast out of, the overall organization for Church Marketing Sucks. They are putting on another certification lab. And guys, the last certification lab, I was in the room when they were given the report, the digital room, that is. We're located all over the country, so we do Google Hangouts. But I was in the room when they were given a report on the last certification lab from June. And the certification lab is just incredible. It's a phenomenal opportunity for anybody who is new or looking to go the next level in church communications to get some hands-on training with some of the leading church communicators. Now, you're probably going to be hearing this after we have done the certification lab Google Hangout. That's okay, because you can still access it. I will put a link in the show notes as well to where you can get the access to the certification lab Hangout and hear a little bit of a preview of what you can expect at this fall's certification lab. It's going to be October 13 and 14. Out at Saddleback Church in California. It's Lake Forest, California. If you've never been to the Saddleback campus, it's quite an experience. The facilities are just phenomenal. The content of the certification lab is going to be incredible, and it's just going to be a great all-around opportunity for all of you West Coasters, myself included, to get out, to get educated, get some training, and get back into your church making a difference for the kingdom. Okay, so that's all that we've got for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Check out iTunes. review the podcast on iTunes. That's how more church communicators are going to be able to find us and how more senior leaders are going to be able to find what we're doing here. And we want as many ears as possible to hear this message of making a difference through communications and media, because it's super important. That's it. We will see you in 2 weeks for the next edition of the Church Marketing Podcast. So excited about that. Until next time, my name is Dave Schrein. Check me out at my blog, daveschrein.com. Look me up on Twitter, @DaveSchrein. Thank you so much for listening, and Schrein out.